Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
The Opinion Line on Cork's 96 FM.
Right, back to something we were talking about during the week. Miko was on. He was talking about road safety, and Miko's first language isn't English, but he made a super point. We're talking about road safety in Ireland, and his belief is that people are still learning how to drive from their dad or their cousin or their uncle or their friend or their classmate. That they're taking them out and they're putting them into a car and saying, stay between the ditches and don't hit anything. And that's the way a lot of us learned to drive back in the day. But Darren was listening. Darren runs a driving school and has been teaching driving now for many a long day. And Darren, you have some thoughts on that, I think. Morning.
I'd like to expand on the point. Like, to be fair, the ones that are getting the driving practice in between are the lucky ones. Yeah. The biggest problem that we face in the industry is parents think, oh, I'll pay the 12 lessons and when you pass your test, I'll get you insured. But like, they need to be insured and they need to be practicing in between the lessons in order to pass the test. Like, I always say to parents when they're sitting in with learner drivers, just be there as a second set of eyes. A lot of the time when parents over-instruct, like, for example, when they're coming up to busy junctions and mum or dad is saying, stop, you can go now, it's safe to go. Then when they go out to do the driving test, they can't think for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be a big failure. Like, when a driving examiner is doing a test, they're basically examining that you can actually make independent decisions on your own. And if you can't make independent decisions on your own, therefore, when they pass you, they're allowing you to drive unaccompanied.
It's the most natural thing in the world, because I sat next to my daughter Sunday morning after Sunday morning as she learned to drive. It's the most natural thing in the world to egg them on and say, watch this fellow come out your left or keep an eye to the right there. You're actually doing them no favours.
No favours whatsoever. I'm always telling parents, all you're there to do is to say stop if required. In the sense of, we'll leave the driving instructor do the work and leave them build up the driving practice and experience in between. Only be there to catch them when they're going to fall. Like, they stall at a set of traffic lights, leave them stall.
Yeah.
Leave them nice and relaxed, don't mind the car behind them.
Yeah.
And leave them take their time. Look, to be totally honest about it, 95% of the motorists on the road give the learner driver a break.
Do they, though, I wonder? Do they?
Generally, yes. A lot of people would overtake us. I've never really had a very bad road rage incident with someone. But, like, generally, yes.
In terms of what you have to do, maybe clarify this one for me, Darren. Do they have to do their 12 now before they will be accepted for their test? Or can you still learn with Dad?
You have to do the 12 mandatory lessons, but you only have to do it once.
Yeah.
It would be no harm if they brought out a system. I wouldn't expect them to up to 12 lessons, because I think the 12 lessons really work if it's done correctly. If they were getting the driving practice in between, the 12 lessons would really work. But the one thing that I would like to see coming in is, if they fail a driving exam, there should be more mandatory lessons, even a small number, 2, 3 or 4 lessons, you know, every time they fail a test. We have people that are on 20 tests plus, getting learner permits all their life. Like, there should be mandatory driving lessons for people that fail a driving test. No, I'm not saying a huge number, Yeah. Maybe two or three, you know.
The cynics out there will say, Darren, you would say that, wouldn't you? And you making a few quid out of it. But no, the point is valid. And you're saying, I went on this last week, there are people out there driving on their 8th, 9th and 10th learner permit and they fail test after test. I was asking this of another instructor last week. Is it time to ask them, come here, do you really think you're cut out for this driving, Larker? Should you take the bus?
To be honest about it, PJ, from my experience, down through the years, I've had a lot of people, they just don't bother. They just don't put in the effort. They just, like, I've had people that I've sat down with that have been on learner permits for 20 years and they throw in the towel and they say, right, let's do this. And they generally pass. Now, there is also people out there that would have nervous issues and they would panic and they might have medical conditions that aren't aware that there's actually a system in place for a supervised test.
Is there?
Like, oh, absolutely. If you had autism, no, or ADHD, or dyslexia, dyspraxia, or anything like that, you can put a letter into the RSA and you'd be tested by a supervisor that would understand your medical condition.
Because a lot of people would contact me there from time to time and they'd say, Asher, PJ, my daughter, she has anxiety and the poor girl was all wound up getting into the car with the instructor. There has to be a better way, or with the tester, there has to be a better way. Is there?
There is. There is a better way, and it's in place all the time. But you have to have a letter from a medical professional.
Mm.
Like, you can't be just chancing your arm saying, oh, I have a medical condition. But, like, I get people, like, autism, ADHD, dyslexia, dyspraxia, and once they have a diagnosis, they provide a medical evidence to the RSA. The examiner then will be a supervised examiner. The test would be the same test, but it would be very less formal.
I see.
But, like, obviously the same standard of driving would be expected out of you. But it would be very less formal, and the tester then that would be a testing. You would understand your condition.
So the test is designed to take account of your anxiety or your neurodivergence or whatever.
Exactly. The driving examiner that comes in for an ordinary applicant knows nothing about your medical condition.
I have you. Just in general, Darren, we're really are in a distressing point of time with 65 or 66 people now dead on the roads. It must worry people like you who teach driving.
It does. I'm going to be honest about it, right? Everybody says, oh, you can't drive on your own. Your car will be taken off you. PJ, I've students driving on their own constantly, driving up to the test centre, driving home, driving on L plates, taking down the L plates before lessons, sticking them on. None of them are having their gas taken off them.
Yeah.
It seems to be, they seem to do a blitz of it once a week, once a year. There was a checkpoint down from the driving test centre, they had one car taken there. Mm. And, like, the same with drink driving, PJ, I don't drink.
Right.
But I'm out 3 nights a week. I enjoy my life. My kids are nearly reared. But I don't drink, so I always have the care with me.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been stopped at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning on breathalyzed. Yeah. Ever. I'm out long weekends and everything. I don't know when last I've been stopped in a checkpoint and breathalyzed after coming out of the pub.
Mm. We hear of a resurgence in drink driving, and by the Minister for Justice in studio here with me, only last week, and she was pointing to this new regime of every guard's going to do half an hour traffic policing in the course of their shift. And then you have the GRA telling us, sure, our traffic corps is half the size it was 10 years ago.
But see, the problem that I find there, right, is you have traffic corps and you have Gardaí, right? We just say I'm an honorary guard, and my job is to investigate crime and fight crime. And you're a local resident and you're coming down the road and I stick out my hand and I say, PJ, you're 10k over the limit, you're getting 3 points for that now.
Mm.
I lose respect then as a guard in my community. Whereas at least if you have the traffic corps, they're not from, like, the local police. I don't think the local police enforcing traffic is going to go down well with the community they live in.
Yeah. Plus, as the GRA were also saying here, it's going to delay the lady who's had her house broken into from getting a response.
And, like, at least traffic police, like, they're going to local villages, they're in there for a half an hour doing a blitz and they're gone. They don't have to deal with the people for the next 20 years.
As we said, nearly 70 people dead, and it's only the end of April.
It is terrifying. It is terrifying. And, you know, like, the sad thing about it is it can all be prevented. Like, PJ, I do dangerous driving court reports. I specialise in that area, right?
Mm.
And, like, from my experience, drink driving is an older person's offence. Like,
yeah,
the vast majority of young people won't do it. But, like, drink driving seems to be, like, 50s plus, you know? It seems to be the older generation, but speed then seems to be killing the younger generation.
Something has to be done about it, and quickly. We have to come up with some solution to stop people dying. Darren, good talking to you. I know the conversation broadened out a bit, but thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Cheers, Darren, for that. And again, the thoughts of people like Darren, very important to us as we try to see what it is we could do to maybe stop the carnage on our roads. We're now damn near to 70. Coming into another weekend, it could well be 70 by the time we're back here on Monday. And that is sad, and that is frightening.
Cork's 96 FM.